Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by...
AmericaCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, and Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics. Chuck and I have an announcement to make. We're going to start wearing masks now that Biden says we don't have to. Now, don't you kind of feel like doing that? It's like, wait a minute. No, I'm not. We're kidding. hey, a lot to talk about. We'll get into the whole masking madness in a second. Or later on in the show, we've got Joanne Winholtz from the Adams County Republican Party joining us at the bottom of the hour, but happy to start off with former Republican Senator Tim Neville.
Hello, Tim. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
Well, tell us about your Liberty Scorecard.
Okay. the Liberty Scorecard is a development of the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. Basically what we do, we have a group of folks that are very interested in key principles, and we basically rate all of the bills and legislation in each session and on the following principles: individual liberty, whether it increases or decreases or protects or erodes individual liberty, personal responsibility, property rights, free markets, limited government principles. Also, state versus federal balance of power at times comes into play. Of course, fiscal responsibility, and then equal protection and rule of law. And so we look at each bill, read them, identify if those items come into play, if it's not some kind of a bill like a license plate bill for puppy dogs and rainbows. We're not going to rate that. But if these other bills come into play, we're going to rate them based upon those principles in either support or to oppose.
Now, let me ask you today, and we're going to have actually somebody from the Independence Institute talking about the transportation, what I consider boondoggle bill, on Wednesday. So the Senate today in Colorado passed a $5.3 billion transportation bill, which Representative Dave Williams told us is actually an anti-transportation bill. How did that fall, or is that falling on your Liberty scorecard, Tim?
Well, definitely opposed on so many reasons, too, for so many reasons, but... Of course, it doesn't have fiscal responsibility and limited government, but it violates so many different principles, including, of course, an end run around the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, Article 10, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution, a variety of things. And as Dave Williams has said, it is not a transportation bill. It is a crony transit, you name it, bill.
Right.
So it had what they call bipartisan support, in that Mr. Southers from Colorado Springs, our former Attorney General, and who else did we have?
Hugh McCain.
Did Hugh McCain back it?
Or is it Kevin Priola? I forget. Which one? Some were other Republican backed it, right, Tim?
I'm not trying to remember who the actual sponsors were on the bill, but it does sound like a Priola bill for sure. And one of the reasons that that we started the Republican Liberty Caucus, the Liberty Scorecard, is most of the people that you run into, Republicans are very good about going into their local districts and throwing out red meat. It'll be interesting. I know you have Joanne Winholtz on later, but that's a perfect example. Many people in Adams County may believe that Kevin Priola is, well, of course, a Republican, but they may believe he's even conservative. But when we rate all the bills, we also rate the scores of the bills. And this is important. We rate the scores of the legislators as they vote, not only on the bill itself on third reading, but also as they vote in committees. So nobody really escapes a vote. If they vote for a bad bill in committee, and they vote for a bad bill on third reading, they're going to get, you know, basically two marks against them. And right. on the opposite side, if they vote well, if they support a good bill or oppose a bad bill, you know, they're going to get rewarded on their score. And it tends to work out pretty well when you right. take a look at the actual ratings and the scorecard of legislators too.
Well, is that correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason that matters because first the bills obviously go to committee, which has a much smaller number. So it could be easy if you're a Republican to pretend that you publicly oppose the bill, but you voted out of committee, so it gets to be voted on. And then once you have the cover of the entire Democrat-controlled legislature voting, then you can go ahead and vote against it, even though you would have had an opportunity possibly to kill it, but chose not to, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing here, you know, when people, a lot of people say, well, how are we doing this year versus previous years? Liberty in Colorado, in general, freedom and liberty has been under attack for quite a while. You know, it hasn't gotten better. But after 2018, we saw a change with a single party rule, of course. And what we saw were a number of legislators, I would have to say, and, you know, I came from the Senate. I might have been maybe, you know, if not the most conservative person in the Senate at the time when I served, one of the more conservative ones. Mm-hmm. But the Senate, the Colorado Senate, has become much less conservative in the last couple of years. And the House has been moving that way. You know, when you take a look at somebody like a Kevin Priola, I mean, he scores better than the Democrats. His rating, let's see, when I looked at it last week, he's the lowest Republican, and he scores basically a 32% on a Liberty rating. He's above, and this is what's amazing, that the Democrats really fall after that too. The highest Democrat is about a 16%, Jesse Danielson. They go all the way down to, you know, basically, let's see, Chris Hansen at about a 10%, and Andrew Bosnicker. I'm not totally familiar with him. I think he was the gentleman that was came in on an appointment. He doesn't have a lot of votes, but he has a 5.7%. So,
well, and again, as you said,
not exactly a rising star.
Where this is important is so people can take a look, and we'll give you a second to talk about where to find it, but people can take a look at it and sure. say, okay, so somebody like Kevin Priola comes to Adams County, makes a great speech. You're like, oh, that sounds good. I guess I'll vote for him in a primary or something. And then all of a sudden, what you can see is, well, what does he actually do when it comes down to voting, right?
Yeah, Kevin Priola.
Absolutely.
Kevin's known for being, you know, when you sign on to heroin injection sites, you're probably not the highest ranked conservative. But there are a lot of other ones, and in particular, the ones that got a lot of Democratic money for the primaries.
The fake Republicans.
Yeah, Robert Rankin, he got over $100,000 from Democrats in Unite America. Mm-hmm. Barbara Kirkmeyer, who's up in
Weld County,
who always says she's a Reagan Republican. Why is it when people say they're Reagan Republicans, they mean they're Democrats? Have you figured that one
well,
out?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't... The ones that say they're Reagan Republicans, I guess the only thing was worse when you used to hear people talk about being Eisenhower Republicans. Didn't know quite what that meant, because even Eisenhower was against the military-industrial complex and warned about that, and most of those people didn't. So, you know, the problem is there's just a lot of cronyism in the state of Colorado. When you get into single-party rule, I call it kind of what has happened. You saw it happen in California. There are a lot of politicians that want to, you know, supposedly get something done and show that they have value by passing something. But what they don't understand is that, you know, the probably the first rule of good government should be the poor man's Hippocratic oath, the first do no harm, especially when you're controlling other people's lives and you're in that position. Oh, I was going to say, I'm sorry, Chuck, you know, you had mentioned, you know, we had a primary, we had a number of Republican primaries this last time around. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're exactly right. There was a lot of Democrat money that was playing in there, and a lot of what I call crony supposed Republican money that was playing in those primaries.
Yeah,
I think
Brophy.
It was to
Greg Brophy.
Yeah.
Greg Brophy is famous for going to Democrats saying, "Hey, I got a real rhino for you. Give me some money."
Give me some money because he wants to make money.
Yeah. I mean, there really are. Well, who is the top senator in your one? Was there a top senator? Is there someone in there that's not a total commie?
Well, there's always the top of something, even when it doesn't look really good. So when I look down the list here, actually, right now you have nobody scores above a 60. So you've got Rob Woodward at 60, Jerry Sonnenberg at 59.3, Paul Lundeen, 58, Jim Smallwood, 58. And then it goes down from there to you have Kevin Prill on the bottom. It is interesting that the Senate in general scores much lower than the House. But, you know, when you take a look at the people that the four races that were in the House that were in Republican dominated districts, where Democrat money and what I would call crony money played in a big way. You take a look at those four that won those races with that money. There were several that are not doing too badly. Dan Woog is at 71%.
Dan Woog, they'll nail him.
Next time they'll primary him.
They must have messed up.
And then you go to, you know, Tanya Van Beavers. She's brought herself up to about a 61. Colin Larson, which they spent over $700,000 in that primary to defeat, and these people that they defeated were probably people that I would say would score, you know, in the high 85 to 95%. When you take a look at that and you look at, Colin Larson at, a 48% right now, Barbara Kirkmeyer at 45.3. So those were the four very contested primaries on the House side last year.
It sounds like then what you're saying is actually, and this is what Chuck and his band have been roaming the state talking about, is the Democrat money that's being poured into the Republican primaries is not just influencing that primary. There is a much broader influence going on, shifting the entire Colorado Republican Senate further left, basically. Because, I mean, I've seen these scorecards for years, and there used to be, I mean, people would get 100%. People would get 90%. I mean, is that fair to say that it's having a significant impact?
The top of the one with our favorite, Patrick Neville, Dave Williams.
Well, that's at the House.
I know, yeah. but nonetheless, you know, you still have good people, but it, there really is no hope, is there?
No!
If you're a Christian believer, there's always hope. When it comes to politics, though, it looks a little bit it's a little bit drearier picture here in Colorado. But you know, one of the things, if you take a look, even at the one primary, I think that, or the one race that was kind of interesting, because we did have crony Republican money. You happen to mention Greg Brophy, who supported a Democrat down in Pueblo, and actually, a lot of Liberty people and resources went to help Stephanie Luck get elected down there. And I can tell you, I mean, she's the fourth highest scorer right now in the legislature and doing a heck of a great job.
What is wrong with the general establishment of the Republican Party? I mean, there's so many of them, and, you know, they really show up at the highest.
And as Dr. Donna says, on county boards and step two.
Well, I mean, you know, the Dick Wadhams, the Ryan Calls, the Fields, all of them. Are they, is it a mental illness or a disease, do you think?
Well, I think it's like anything else. I know when I was in business, we used to talk about people that were successful to a degree in business, and some of those people have been successful at some level. But sometimes you get your partial success or some success separates you from kind of where you came from and from the realities of actually the Republican base. And I think many of these people have been either through the needs of having to play to who is giving them a paycheck, or just because they sort of moved into different circles, they've separated from that. What I would call that liberty base that, you know, is, I don't know, that made me become a Republican, and I believe, you know, is what people value about the party.
Let me, speaking of mental illness, though, Speaking of mental illness, so I want to ask you a little bit off topic.
About Ken Buck? Record.
Yes, Ken Buck lost his mind. What's going on there?
Well, we got the word. We got the word today from an inside source that his Ted Trimble girlfriend's broken up with him. So he may be hurting right now.
No,
it's true.
Well, I know that's true.
He's heartbroken. Poor guy is heartbroken, and you're attacking him.
I'm sorry. It's like if you were to raid him, I don't know that. I mean, he was doing okay, and then like I said, all of a sudden it's like he's gone crazy.
Well, yeah, and his, you know, Colorado's the gold standard of.
And Liz Cheney's a great person, and the election
was perfect. I mean. You know, is there a special school that you know about that
or some kind of treatment?
Maybe they're doing it down the Broadmoor called Vichy Republicans and how to surrender whatever is left of the state to the Democrats?
Well, you know, when all said and done, what I care about and what we should all care about is definitely how they vote. You know, we get into some of the other things and, you know, there can be a lot of distractions. I'm definitely no fan of Liz Cheney and the neocon movement in general. I think it's a very anti-liberty movement. You know, that's one of those things where sometimes there are a number of Republicans that are neoconservatives. But I believe that, you know, what we've seen with, you know, the Trump era is something that is a change there. That's a positive change. And I think people truly understand that. We don't have to fight these, never-ending wars, and we also can put our country first and still be strong and do those things, but not be total interventionists. And understanding, too, that the money, the flow of that money, you know, from the Defense Department and everything else, it creates a lot of cronyism there, too.
Yeah.
Especially even in the state of Colorado, when you talk about what goes on in some of the other districts, particularly in the Colorado Springs area.
That's right. And this is, let me just read some of the comments from, this is from Charlene. The hope is resistant in each individual circle of interest. Starve the beasts, Walmart, Amazon, the GOP, including the Colorado GOP, feed the angels, the churches that speak up, Chuck and Band of Merry Warriors, et cetera, and the Liberty Scorecard. Because what I really like what you guys are doing is it's just, I mean, it's subjective, but you lay out, here's what we're basing it on. And if you don't agree with our principles, that's fine. But you can see this is just how they score. Let the chips fall where they may.
And it comports with your feeling about it. You know, I mean, you go, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. Really, Daniel Wong is the only one who went, whoa, what happened there? There must be a mistake on that one. They spent a lot of money on him for him to be that high. Maybe they gave him permission. Maybe
the one rhino
won't be the worst, so they can move in. Well, do you see any chance that we just won't be swallowed up by the
deluge
of Democratic money and rhinoism? I mean, it just seems...
Well, what you guys are doing, and it was great to be at a meeting the other night and listen to your presentation, because I think what you guys are trying to do in basically making the Republican nominees truly the choice of the Republicans, that's extremely critical. I mean, I never supported that, that crossover primary, the open primaries when I was in the legislature. The people that did that were very behind that. You know, you mentioned, you know, Greg Brophy and others. I remember Ryan Call was a big fan of that. And, you know, hopefully they all made a lot of money supporting that, I guess, maybe. But it really sold us out, and it was foolish. It was sold under the even back with Jeff Hayes. It was, you know, the idea of the big tent, but what it really became was the crony tent that you can buy your
it was a
your
very
place
teeny
in.
Tent. Yeah, exactly, a very teeny tent that you had to have a lot of money to get into. Well, before we go any further, and I know because Chuck may have some more questions, but before I just don't want to forget, where can people find this Liberty Scorecard?
Yeah, you can go to RLC, which is Republican Liberty Caucus, RLCCO, as in Colorado, .org. And you can go on. There's a number of links to the Liberty Scorecard. I put a link up, today on the, we have a Facebook page too. Facebook is what it is, but we'll still keep fighting in every area we can. And there's a link there that lets you sign up for updates for the bills and the Republican Liberty Caucus scorecard, so you can see the changes. And, you know, okay. We always hope that people do better, you know, as I know when...
shine a little bit of light on
yeah,
them, right?
I mean, well, there's an opportunity. And sometimes some of the people, you know, I'd love to see somebody like, you know, Dan Woog get up into the 80s or the high 80s or 90s. I'd love to see the people in the 50s and 60s, you know, move up. And then when you start getting into the lows or the 50s, you have to start deciding it's time for good people to step up and possibly primary and provide another choice.
But they have no money.
And, well, and John, the
Democrats pour in money. And I just, it is hopeless.
It's not hopeless. It's not. Look at what's going on around
over.
The country.
We're all moving out.
No, we're not.
I know the Nevilles are moving out. No. And we're all moving out of here.
Don't move out. No.
I want to get the hell out of Dodge.
We can talk about this
now. Awful.
There's a new poll that shows the Republican enthusiasm going into 2022 is beating the Democrats by like double digits.
What
11%.
Difference does it make when they rig the election?
Well, all right. That's a whole separate thing. But anyway. All right. Well, Tim,
Chuck makes great points. And I'm not going to say that it's any kind of rosy picture. And, you know, like anything else in life, you know, you do what you can, where you can, to make a difference. And if everybody that were true Republican conservatives or patriots actually did what they could do, I'm not saying that we're going to sweep ourselves back into power or something like that. But I would guarantee you that it would look a little bit better in Colorado. So. You know, I'm one of those believers in positive incremental improvement and then just fight like hell and then go from there.
Hey, and before we let you go, Charlene has a question. Charlene, I see you raised your hand. If you want to go ahead and unmute yourself. And we're talking with Tim Neville, former state senator, about the Republican Liberty Scorecard. Go ahead, Charlene. Are you there?
Hello.
Sometimes it takes a second to unmute. You there, Charlene?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, now
no,
we can hear you.
Perfectly.
Go ahead.
Okay. I do feel like the political process, that ground has been ceded to the enemy already. We need to get on new ground because the enemy has it. I remember when Ken Buck wrote the book, Drain the Swamp. Right. And, I was so proud of that book and proud of him. But he did say in that book, he said, if you expect to survive in the system, you have to play along or you don't get appointed to the committees and you're without any power in Washington. And so it seems like he's, you know, he's staying there. So he's got some power in Washington with the swamp. And so he must be playing along. So anyway, the political process is just so corrupt right now, but there's other playing fields. And one of them is the pocketbook. And one of them is just people, you know, like your show and Matt Dunn's show, it reaches, you know, say, you know, a smaller audience, but each of those people can affect a change. And, you know, like they knock the big ones off, you know, the ones that speak up and they get knocked down like the Matt Gaetz's. But if they have 100,000 of people like us, it's going to be hard to go after each one of us because they want our revenue on Facebook and they want our advertising on Twitter. And so I'm just saying we move to a field that they haven't captured yet, a high ground they haven't captured yet, because I feel like they've got the political process and that's what they're focused on and they've already got it. And so, you know, I think there's hope for us, but it's just going to be in a different area.
Yeah.
Does that make sense,
well, Charlene,
Mr. Neville?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Charlene, no, it makes perfect sense, but I don't believe you ever cede any ground to an enemy like that. I mean, as I mentioned the other night when I was talking to a group, it's not a question of Democrats and Republicans. Now it's a question of Marxism, communism, you know, the isms versus freedom and liberty. You know, forget the P's and R's for just a second. You know, the parties represent something. We'd like to see the Republican Party represent freedom and liberty and opportunity more than it does on too many occasions. But we know what the Democrat Party represents. It's clear, even if you take a look at the scores on the Liberty Scorecard, like I said, the highest Democrat in here, you know, we used to have Democrats that would score 25, 30, 35, maybe even a 40 here and there. But, you know, we have Jesse Danielson, who is by no means conservative and all. She's the highest, and she's at a 16%. So that's their game. So I would see no power and nothing Nothing in any form, in any area, in any field to Democrats who seem to have basically embraced a level of Marxism socialism that we never thought we would see in our lifetimes. We can't afford to do that in any realm, let alone also in business and in everything. But you're exactly right. You can't. You've got to go and you've got to move where you can make a difference. And there are a lot of areas.
And I'm just thinking, like, consolidate your forces in areas they haven't conquered, because in the area that they've conquered, you know, they've got outlooks, they've got spies, they've got, you know, we're like the British walking into the revolutionary forces, you know, we're just, you know, cannon fodder. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, in order to take other ground that's just as impactful, because I think our pocketbook is very impactful and we're afraid to use it for some reason, but I know they love our money, you know, until we're completely conquered, they're going to love our money. So
you're right. We're not powerless and we need to remember that.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, thank you.
Well, no, here's the thing too. You know, we always tell people, put your time and your treasure, you know, where it's valued. Okay. So whether that's within politics, you know, it doesn't mean possibly giving money to the Republican Party if it's not doing what you want it to do. It may mean giving time and money to certain liberty candidates. Because even one person can make a big difference in any specific area, you know, if they you know, use the bully pulpit. And even in politics, too. We've seen it. But I'm not going to, you know, paint any kind of rosy picture of a political victory. And again, we always have to remember that politics is downstream of culture. And I think, Charlene, that's where you're kind of going. So the fight is a cultural battle and a political battle. But we can fight them all. I mean, we've got, God gives us a lot of time and power and ability, talents. And so we don't have to pick and choose. We can fight them along, you know, a vast array, and we have to.
Thank you, Charlene. And Tim, we're going to
let me ask you one other question.
Okay.
Thank you, Julie. I've just spent part of my Sunday going through beautiful Colorado with Heidi Goodall. Have you had a chance to view
that's
some of
those? She's a CU Regent.
He knows who she is.
But the audience may not. She's a CU Regent, a Colorado Republican, someone spoken of as possibly a gubernatorial candidate who now has her own podcast.
Okay. Have you got to see that? Beautiful Colorado?
I haven't seen her podcast, no.
Oh, God, you got to go see it. And it's very similar to an Academy Award winner called Life is Beautiful with Roberto Benigni as a comedian in a concentration camp pretending everything is beautiful. I mean, she ought to get an Academy Award.
She's not diverse enough.
Oh, she has diverse people on there. I mean, is she mentally ill too? I mean, fly a Colorado beautiful. Let's go around the state. Let's go downtown.
Well, you know, when it came to the CU Regents, my biggest frustration with them, and I, you know, it was more privately dealt with than publicly. Of course, when the regents are elected by the people, I'm not going to argue with that. When the board of governors when the governing board was picked for the Colorado State University, I opposed everybody that voted against life by using fetal tissue in experiments up at CSU, and you know, that was I was one of the only ones that did that. And then of course it hit the floor and we had a few more votes on it, but I think you've got to be consistent. CU Regents, for the most part, you know, now that it's gone the other way to Democrats, it's going to get worse. But that was one of the things that bothered me about University of Colorado. People didn't stand up on that issue. Many of them said they appeared to be very pro-life, but it came to, you know, possibly funding. I don't know what happened in the, you know, in the back halls. I was happy that at least when Bruce Benson was there, I was able to at least get them to understand what free speech on campus means before it blew up.
Oh, really?
Not anymore.
Well,
they
did a very good job.
Well, they did, but they've abandoned that.
Well, Bruce, It was funny because they fought us on it at first, and then they came in and testified against our bill and said that it was even though they said they were neutral on the bill, they testified against it. But I have to give Christy Burton Brown a lot of she actually helped us from the legal standpoint with the attorneys there. We actually, you know, created a free speech on campus bill. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people kind of took credit after, you know, for free speech. Yeah. But, you know, that's fine. You know, well, hey, you know, as long as they're singing in the choir, you don't care how they got in the church,
another
right?
Another Marxist organization now.
Hey, we got to run. Tim, thank you so much for your time and the work. You
great
appreciate
work.
It.
Great work. Everybody go to
take care.
Let's do that thing again.
RLCCO.org.
RLCCO.org.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Take care, guys.
He heard that Heidi's podcast just beat out Joe Rogan. No. all right. Hey, we're gonna talk about the mask thing too. Thomas, if you want to go ahead and give Joanne Winnowitz a call. She's another person fighting. You know, Dr. Donna was talking about the county level. That's where it starts. Sort of like the Nevilles are fighting that too. It's, as you said, Chuck, it's, you know, when you look at the statewide picture, it is pretty depressing. But if you look at individual races and individual places,
it's pretty
depressing. It's depressing, but it's not as depressing.
Well, it's not depressing.
So if we want to, Thomas, go ahead and we can go ahead. But in the meantime, though, too, you know, the mask thing. What a bunch of
wonderfulness.
You're right, but idiots. Now, Chuck and I kind of disagree in terms of why it is, and we'll talk about this more, like I said, in a few minutes. But this is kind of interesting now that we don't have any masks. So we've got Walmart, we've got Costco, just today jumping on the bandwagon, Starbucks. I was glad to see Starbucks. I would not have wanted to boycott them. Target, CVS drugstores, no masks. Trader Joe's, no masks. Department of Justice, no masks. All of a sudden, it was like, no masks. I got to imagine pretty soon everybody else is going to jump on. And here's where you were right. I was thinking it was going to take a while for this to happen. And Chuck said, no, it'll be by Monday. They're going to all start. And I think there might be political pressure. You don't.
There's no one to apply it. It is just water over a dam.
Yeah.
Once the water crests the dam and it crushes it, everything just falls apart.
Yeah, and I don't think that there's a, and we'll debate that too. And you guys can weigh in here after we talk to Joanne.
What's the debate?
I don't think there's a chance in the universe that the director of the CDC just unilaterally decided to get rid of masks, and Joe Biden found out by watching it on TV.
They could have called Joe Biden. He wouldn't know what they're talking about.
Well, they called Susan Rice.
Well, they called Susan. Susan would have been out of doing a
Benghazi
deal.
They didn't do that without the okay, at least the approval.
Well, who's okay? Who okays it?
Somebody in the Biden administration.
Who?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
No, I mean, you're just making it up. It could have been Susan Rice. It could have been Chief of Staff.
No, any of them.
Yeah, you're wrong about that. Hey, we got, so normally Chuck is not wrong, but he is on this.
No, I am not.
But we're going to break off the marital discord where Julie's right again and join Joanne Winholz, Adams County Republican Party chairperson.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi there. Hello.
Hello. And thank you for your time. You know, Joanne, we were talking with Tim Neville just before you came on. And I think one of the important things for folks to realize, as some of our listeners have noted, is that, you know, things are kind of bleak in Colorado, but on the county level, there are a lot of good things going on. And I know you guys in Adams County have long been sort of a stronghold, which is where we live, by the way, a stronghold for fighting for freedom. Talk to us about some of the things. I know you've got an education forum coming up. Talk to us about some of the stuff you have coming up.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned the education forum, thank you. It's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And it's in Brighton, and it's at 30 South 7th Avenue in Brighton. And what it basically is a focus group to try to determine what is going on in our Adams County school districts. We've got 5 school districts. And so we've invited parents, teachers, retired teachers, and if people are worried about, confidentiality, they can be assured that nothing's going to be recorded. But we're just trying to find out what's going on, because I know for a fact that the woke re-education is going on at the state capitol and in all the different departments. So we know darn well it's going on in our schools with our teachers. So we just got to get on top of this. And so basically that's what it is. It's going to be facilitated by Kathleen Chandler from the Independence Institute.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And
great.
So we look forward to it.
Okay. And that's, and where can folks who like say, oh, I don't have a pen, I'm in the car driving, where can they find out more information about it?
Well, actually, we've sort of kept it in-house.
Okay. It's
at 30 South 7th Avenue, Brighton, at 6:30.
Okay, and that's on Tuesday night.
Tomorrow night, right.
No, I think, you know, I mean, we have a 10-year-old, and I mean, we're really pleased with our charter school, but I think we've all seen through all the parents through the remote learning, you know, you're like, wait, what are you guys learning? What is this? You know, what is that? And there's so much stuff anymore that it seemed to be in the remote learning that was put together, not actually by the school, right? There are these a lot of the online stuff, and I think they don't do it quite as much now, but I mean, some or another, the schools are buying, I'm assuming, these programs, just like when you were a radio station, you would buy, you know, a satellite music of your life or something like that. And that was the music you played. And I think that's alarming, too, because you got to wonder who's vetting these things, who's making these things, who's funding these things. And as you said, there's a lot, you know, kids come home. You always hear kids come home with stuff and you're like, where did they get that? And we've been lucky. I haven't had Rev say too much about any of that. But that's the kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's. Yeah, that's just it. It's just because our teachers have gone through the university education program that their teachers, you know, their right. professors have gone through it. And it's been going on for a good 40 to 60 years. And right. all of a sudden, they're so bold now that it's right in our face.
Exactly. So, okay. Is that most of what you wanted to talk about? Are you guys doing some other stuff?
Well, no, we've got something coming up. It's called the Shoot. And basically, it's on June 11th at Shoot Indoors in Broomfield. And with our Second Amendment under attack all the time and the ability to even find ammo right now is a challenge. Right. So it's you know, we've got to get on the ball and make sure folks know how to protect themselves. There's just too many strange, weird things going on.
Okay.
And so that's June 11th from 4:30 to 9.
Okay.
There will be a barbecue and then classes with a range officer, fire safety, basic instructions on how to take care of a gun and clean a gun. And then you can have the rest of the evening to practice your shooting.
Wow, that is really cool. Okay. And now that I imagine, is that up on the Adams County website at all? Or is that sort of
Go to the website, adamsgop.com, go under events, then you'll go down. There's a few other things there also, but click on RSVP and it'll take you to the registration. And
you
it's $65 a person, but it's a good deal.
Oh, well, it's like a shooting range, yeah. What I think is so interesting and good about what you guys are doing is, I mean, these are topics that are not partisan particularly, right? This is education. Right?
Oh, no.
And I think a lot of parents are concerned about that. Well, what I mean is it's not like you're going to go hear somebody talk to them about here are Republican principles and blah, 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 blah. Right? You're talking
about the Second Amendment, which is Republican principles. It's not. Democrats are anti-Second Amendment.
Let me finish.
No, I won't. Republicans are pro-Second Amendment, and Democrats are not.
What I'm saying is, and I think what Joanne is saying is that there are events that they are sponsoring that have a broad appeal, no matter what your politics are. And then you get people inside the tent and then you can say, well, here's some of our other ideas. I mean, I think it's what we always talk about, right? I mean, we know that there are a lot of people who are interested in firearms right now, whatever there may be. I think Democrats who are uneducated, maybe I'll say that, are unaffiliated voters. And this is the kind of thing I think that just has a broad appeal and a practical appeal. It's not just listening to speeches and like that.
Very, very much so. And you can bring your own gun, bring your own ammo. There will be a charge for ammo if it's available. So,
yeah.
But you can also rent a gun, whichever you prefer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else is going on? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, let's see. we're working on our voter integrity task force and trying to figure out how much ballot harvesting actually went on in Adams. And then we've got Chuck and Anil and Ben out there on the primary, get our closed primary back. So, yeah, we've got a lot going on.
You guys are good. So, let me, what is the reception? I mean, you're out there talking to people. Like I was saying, there was a study, that a poll that just came out that said Republican enthusiasm coming into 2022 is like massively higher than Democrat enthusiasm. Are you seeing, I mean, I don't get the sense that Chuck is kind of, you know, there's no hope, but, and maybe
well,
there's no
but hope. I see it. Yeah.
But there's enthusiasm.
You have two things, and I've been traveling around the entire state, so I have some idea.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Republican enthusiasm is higher than it's ever been. Every place we go, there are people who have never been involved in Republican politics, including in Adams County. We had women coming in saying, I just want to do something. I just, you know, they're taking away my liberties. So there's never been a higher enthusiasm for freedom and liberty. At the same time, you have your former head of your party telling you that we're the gold standard, that this is just beautiful, that they've rigged the system, and you have your former chair praising it. I mean, it's mental illness.
But not in the part of the everyday Republicans.
Well, he's an everyday moronic Republican. I mean, I love Ken, but when they say things like that, when you've watched elections and watched what they do, either the Republicans get wise with the Election Integrity Project or just fold the tent because they're too stupid to have these rhino Republicans tell you, isn't this great? All Democrat judges, all Democrat legislature, all Democrat executive, all Democrat everything. They've cheated, lied, stolen. And unless you kind of realize it, it's hopeless.
And it's the voter rules that they're trying to change now again with another bill that I think it's like 260 out there. Yeah,
right.
It'll be 260. It's wild.
But let me ask you something about this, which kind of hits home here in Adams County. Have you been tracking the recall and the upcoming election in Westminster?
I haven't been on top of it as much as House District 35 has been. And they were really pleased as to when Hutchison, that is whatever his name is, for the Burr mayor Hutchison. Resigned so he wouldn't have to go through the rigmarole of being recalled. And they're working on one or maybe two because they have the early election to replace. If this recall goes through on this one city council member, then in November they have to turn around and they have to do this all again.
Right.
And it's been expensive for Westminster to do this, but they're doing it. Enough's enough.
Right.
Well, yeah, we contributed to that legal effort to put it out in the courts. And it was expensive, but it's well worth it. But how much can the Republican Party do to help these Republican candidates are on the recall and on the ballot? Because, you know, we're not going to take back Adams County anytime soon with the rigged voting, but we actually could take Westminster. If you take Westminster, you have a base. We'd have the Republican mayor of Commerce City, but you'd have a majority. And the one thing Republicans don't seem to get sometimes is that when you do something that makes a real difference in people's lives, then they like the Republican Party. And here they quintupled the water rates. And if the Republicans win coming up this recall, they will cut them by five times. Republicans will be the happiest group around, and people appreciate the Republicans. So if Adams County and the Republican Party needs to do whatever they can to support these people, because the Adams County Democrats are pouring all their resources in to prevent it. And so it's a kind of that local election that we can win. We're not going to win the governor. We're not going to win Lutz.
We've got to stop. And the same goes for the school districts. And
yes.
It's just,
absolutely.
That's one reason we're doing tomorrow night, is to, you know, get
people educated
on what's going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joanne, thank you.
I just wanted to share with you real quick, at our last ARC meeting, half of the people there were all brand new. I was so excited.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no kidding.
That's good. Yes. Good for you. Thank you. Let us know anytime you got something, okay?
Yep,
we are happy to help.
We love you, Joanne.
What? I'm sorry?
Oh, we just said, let us know anytime you've got something coming up.
Okay.
Feel free to reach out anytime. We're happy to help. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. A question from Charlene. Why is there very little ammo anymore? And I think if Leo was like, Char, an estimated 5 million new people purchased guns. I think that's it, that under the Biden administration, a lot of people are worried, and in Colorado, about gun rights. And so I think just people are buying ammunition.
I think there's regulations they're putting in to close it down. Because normally you'd meet the demand of more people
with
ammo. They'd produce more
ammo. The Democrats are. All right, let's switch gears
to
the masks. Want to play, this is kind of funny. It was kind of fun. I had fun watching the corporate media people like freak out over the mask thing. I mean, like literally like 3 days ago, this time last week, they're telling us, doomsday scenario, Colorado, worst in the universe, everyone's going to die, we got to wear masks forever, kids have to wear two masks and stuff like that in summer camp. And then, boom, magically, that all went away. And it was pretty funny. Joe Concha from The Hill was talking with the folks on Fox News. So, Thomas, if we could play the Joe Concha mask soundbite, please.
Media in full meltdown when this announcement was made yesterday. Joe, here are some of the doctors on other networks and what they had to say about it. Listen.
Frankly, I was shocked by this announcement. I think they went from one extreme to another. And the major step that's missing here is, how do we know that people are telling the truth?
This is not a free-for-all that everybody, but I agree with Dr. Nguyen. It is going to be very tenuous.
I am kind of befuddled as to where this guidance came from. I think there are a lot of steps that we're missing.
And the people who never wanted a vaccine, how do I get them to wear a mask?
That is a great question.
I mean, Joe, half the country is already doing this. If you have been vaccinated, why shouldn't we be able to take off the mask? This announcement should have come a long time ago.
Absolutely, Ainsley. And look, fear is the greatest motivator, is the old saying. And maybe fear is also the greatest motivator in terms of reasons to watch TV or reasons to click on a certain sort of online publication, for example, that talks about COVID and tries to fearmonger people. And that was Dr. Liana Nguyen that you saw there on CNN. She also said this, which I found very interesting, quote, what's to stop the unvaccinated from endangering everyone? All right, here's some stats for you. As recently as a week ago, nearly 85% of seniors in this country have been vaccinated. 95% of COVID deaths in this country occurred with people 50 and older. This is all according to the CDC, and that's obviously because of chronic conditions or because you have an aging immune system. So when she says, oh my God, the unvaccinated are going to kill everyone, well, the numbers say that that simply is not the case. And you don't need to.
And the thing is, and they hit on the head, it's a fear market. CNN is like, okay, we don't have Trump to bash.
Well,
now we can't.
The only people the unvaccinated can kill is the unvaccinated. If you're vaccinated and it works, you cannot be killed. If you're a kid, you're not going to be killed by the unvaccinated.
Chuck, no. I've seen is again, they're all kind of falling in line. CNN, Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
They're not falling in line. They're panicking. I mean,
they're dropping these. Sanjay Gupta over the weekend was saying, oh my God, this is crazy. All of a sudden, it's all kind of going away now, and it's not quite so crazy. There's a lot of confusion, right? There shouldn't be, but I mean, there is. If you're a restaurant owner, I think what you predicted is coming true, and that is that it would start to crumble pretty quickly, because once you have some places not wearing masks, it becomes pretty hard for others. I think if you're the King Supers or places like that, it's going to be kind of tricky, because you've got unions now that you've got to deal with, and you've got union lawyers trying to figure out what's the best positioning for us. No, we don't do that. It's just one of those things where once it fell, I think it's going to fall quickly. And Joe,
well, it already has. It's already gone. I mean, Texas.
No, if you walk into King Supers, you still have to wear a mask.
Well, we should arrest those people. Oh. But Texas had no COVID deaths yesterday. None. Zero.
Zero. Zero.
And then we've been having this whole thing where India, where they're all supposed to be dying by the carloads.
Right.
In fact, they've been giving them ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, and they're all fine now. And so the whole sleazy.
New York can ditch the masks.
New York only sicko California. The sick of the sick are out there
for another couple of weeks. But I think one of the things that might have played a factor, and I hope that Devin Nunes continues this, is there has been an increasing push to figure out, well, where did COVID originate? And what was Dr. Fauci's role? And what was American government's money role in all of this? It's like, it's like Tucker Carlson or somebody was saying, it's like, do we really think that this all came from some guy who ate a bat? Well, there's a lot of evidence now that needs to be looked at that indicates maybe not. And at least now Twitter and YouTube, of course, won't let us ask the questions.
Whatever evidence there is, it's in the Wuhan lab in China. And the Chinese military is never going to let you.
They're never going to. But at least the
Fauci killed us all. Fauci caused this thing. I don't know if he did, but he deserves to be roundly condemned for his idiocy.
And I kind of think that, among other things, there were questions like that coming up. And as long as COVID was a thing, then people were going to be looking. I mean, you had the New York Times. Yeah. You had various reporters looking into it. I also think we had the gas crisis. What I mean is it was becoming, people were looking into the origins, right?
And
I think
we're not going to find anything because the evidence isn't
there. I understand that, but they were looking into it. Oh. And I think you've got the gas crisis. You've got the Middle East crisis. I think Biden had, as we've said, a very bad week last week.
He didn't know he had a bad week. He didn't know what kind of week he had.
When I say Biden, I guess I should always clarify. I don't think I mean Biden.
Citizen rights.
The Obama people who are actually running the country had a bad week last week. And the whole gas thing, that looked bad. Okay. Inflation was up. Inflation's worse than it's been in 20 years. Job reports worse.
Let's look like idiots about the mask. And they did.
I figured because they got cover from the mainstream media, they were happy to just say, yay, COVID's over. And not immediately CNN and some of those other people are very crabby about that because they're like, crabby. We didn't say it was over, and we didn't have a plan. And how are we going to get our clicks from now on?
You have to understand, we've been in this for over a year now, and everybody's so used to COVID and everything else. The idea that COVID is totally over,
that
you can go to Costco, you can go to Target, you go, oh no, what am I going to do?
Right. And like Charlene says, Rand Paul got Fauci to confess. Even though Fauci denied it, does he confess? None. And Sanders like, Jobama is a name. I think you're right, Joanna. I'll just call it Jobama. Yeah, I think that people in restaurants are going to look increasingly, as Ref says, Karen-ish and Bethany-ish. No offense to the Karens and the Bethanys out there.
Bethany comes.
I don't know. He just says, Bethany. I mean, that's kind of, I think, a
They're expanding the name.
Yeah, expanding the name. But I mean, all these people want to boss us around, because what are they going to boss us around about? Now, there are a lot of people who are going to be very upset, because how are they going to boss me around and tell me what I should do? You saw that idiot David Ho who says he's going to still wear a mask because he doesn't want anyone to think he's a conservative. Tucker Carlson's right. They totally wanted to do it so they could identify conservatives, so they could virtue signal to the rest of us.
They're wandering around the streets. Now
they can scare us about the 17 trillion cicadas I was talking about last week.
We need a cicada mask,
but they're not in Colorado. It's going to be funny to see what they come up with now, because they're going to be.
Oh, they're very good. They're very inventive.
I don't know. And then quickly switching from that, because I think it's just because we only have a few minutes left, because we'll talk more about the whole mask thing, because I do think there's more to that than meets the eye. But we do have Bill Gates. That's falling apart.
Bill Gates. We find out he's a horny little guy going after the chickadees.
Meeting up with Jeffrey Epstein after Epstein was arrested to talk about his toxic marriage. Wouldn't you hate to be, if you're going to the boys club and you're talking with people who are getting arrested about, how can I get out of my toxic marriage to Julie? It's like, I would be a little annoyed. I mean, we don't have like a trillions of dollars to divide up though, but to do, be a little bit less. Or this is from Charlene too. Or Julie, the shutdown had its purpose. This is also true, Charlene. The mail-in ballot emergency and steal the election from Trump. They waited till the election fear is over. Ah, Charlene, but it's not over. More information coming out every day. They are still going at it in Maricopa County.
Can you imagine if they actually did find significant fraud?
There's various audits around the country are coming up with stuff. There was an article in the Conservative Treehouse today about another county where they were actually doing the recount at the behest of the Democrats, right? And they found a lot of Republican votes were being thrown to Democrats. So it's going to be interesting times here ahead. On Wednesday, we got a great show coming up. We're going to be talking about the transportation bill, some other things as well. And I want to remind folks, you can always catch us at chuckandjulie.com, and love to have you go to our Chuck and Julie YouTube site too as well. Like us and subscribe. I know BBS, we'll get into this later, but one of the best places to get us, for folks who've been watching us on the BBS YouTube channel, you can get us as well on the Chuck and Julie YouTube channel. Just Chuck
get
and
us
Julie.
Everywhere.
You can get us everywhere. Hey, thank you everybody for listening. Hello.
Take care, everybody.
That's right. We'll see you on Wednesday.